do as I say, not as I do, because I'm in the boat of not doing the things I'm going to encourage you to do today. And so please listen to the words and don't listen to the speaker this morning, because the speaker falls short in some of the things that I'm going to share with you here today. And honestly, I think if most pastors are honest, that's what happens all the time. We're humans, we're people, and that's just kind of where I am today. So I'm going to dive in and see if I can give this some justice. So last week, Adam punted. Remember this last week? We didn't even have children's church and didn't quite share all the things he was intending to share. But if he had, he would have shared a message from Romans, where we're going through. And it's a message in Romans 10. And the verse right before where we're going to pick up today is translated a couple of ways. And one of the ways is this. In the New Living Translation, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You've probably heard that or a version of that. In the Message, it says this: "Everyone who calls help God gets help." All right? Nice words. Appreciate that. But how does somebody know who to call or even that they need to do that? And that's where we're going to pick up some things here today. So, Gus and Thad, I'm going to ask you to put up on our screen over here the text from Romans 10, which is where we're going to pick up some things today. Alrighty. This is a long section, and in just a minute, you'll realize why we're not going to deal with the whole long section. Here's how it goes. It says, "Believe me, friends, all I want for Israel is what's best for Israel. Salvation, nothing less. I want it with all my heart and pray to God for it all the time. I readily admit that Jews are impressively energetic." By the way, these are nice verses. Can we skip ahead to verse 10? Thanks, Dad. Here we go. Okay, a little bit farther. Okay. Woo. Okay. Here we go. We'll start right there, verse 10, or even verse 14. "But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone..." Yeah, that'll work. Okay. That's fine. Here's the idea. Here's the thought here this morning. Paul's words in Romans come in kind of handy here. In verses 14 and 15, he talks about what he's really talking about is sharing the gospel with others. So let's stop there for just a little bit. If you have an official churchy word dictionary and you look up in the G section, gospel is right there. And gospel means literally good news. Okay? So when we share the gospel of Jesus, we're sharing the good news of Jesus' sacrifice for our salvation. That is really good news. Okay? So you can use the word gospel in your everyday life, and by the way, I encourage you to do so. I can share with you the gospel of the Seattle Seahawks, how wonderful they are, what fine young men they are, and what wonderful football that they play. That is good news, unless you're playing them, okay? I can share with you the gospel of dinner tonight, which I hear is going to be impressive. Am I correct? I hope so too. Yeah, exactly right. I can share that. So the gospel is good news. Look it up in your churchy word dictionary, okay? By the way, try to use gospel at some point today in your general conversation at least once, and you will not regret it. Just going to tell you. So we're going to focus on this part of this whole section, not because the second part of Romans 10 and into Romans 11 is really, really long. It is, okay? But we're going to focus there because it does talk about how do we talk to others about Jesus and how do we get to know people well enough that they're going to listen to us. There's a whole second section that I would encourage you to read and even read in one or two different translations, because the second section that goes into chapter 11 in Romans really talks about and reiterates a message that Adam has been sharing with us about who has access to the message of Jesus, who has access to the gospel. In Paul's time and in Jesus' time and even in our time, there are folks who believe that you are born into certain things. There are even Christians today who will believe that, man, my parents were really fine, churchy Christian people, and so I'm sort of covered by all that. It's like a big giant halo or a bubble. And we know as a fact that this is an individual decision that people make. No matter what your parents did or your brother and sister did or your best friends did or the people you hang out with, are and what they believe, The decision to follow Christ is yours, and yours alone. If you lived back in Jesus' day, people truly believed, you know, if you were born a carpenter, your chances are you're going to be a carpenter. If you were born a prince, you were going to live the life of a prince. And all those things were certainly true. Right? Jesus came and shared this revolutionary message that you didn't have to be Jewish. You didn't have to be this. You didn't have to be that. Everybody has access to the gospel and everyone can be saved. That was a revolutionary message then, and it's certainly a revolutionary message now. So the big question is, really for me, is who are they that need to share the gospel? Who are these people who are going to share things with people who don't know what they don't know? Right? And I'm just going to tell you flat out, the they is us. Okay? I once worked for a boss, and she was very good at a couple of things. Maybe not some others, but a couple of things. And she would listen to us complain about this or about that or what these people are doing or what those people are doing and how this was out of our control and that was out of our control and this is what they are doing to us. And she would very calmly listen to all this and she'd look us in the eye and say, all right, we get to solve this because they is us. We don't have to worry about who they are. They are right around this table. And I'm going to tell you that the they about sharing the gospel of Jesus is in this room. It's me, it's you, it's the person sitting next to you, it's all of us. Okay? We can't outsource that responsibility to somebody else. So, Thad, there was a cool picture that you put up there before that looked pretty good. Let's put it up there again. Let's talk about some ways that probably don't work in sharing the gospel of Jesus. Okay? And I found this image. There's a whole lot of better ones out there if you wanted to get really controversial, but I found this image just looking around about a week ago. And when you look at this message up over here, there's absolutely nothing up there that, I mean, a Christian would argue with. Those are Bible verses. Those are truths of our faith. Repent and turn from your sin to Jesus, all those different things. But think about the context where this happened. What are the intent of these people? Are these people intending to turn others to Jesus? If they are, I think they're missing the point. Standing on a street corner with a sign telling people what's wrong with the world, I don't believe has ever turned somebody to Christ. Now, I'm not going to say that you shouldn't protest. I'm not going to say that you don't have a right to dissent. I'm not going to say that you don't have a right to declare Jesus' name in opposition to something that you might find ungodly. That's not the point of all this. But if these fine people believe that this is what's going to turn people to Jesus, I think they're missing the mark. Okay. In fact, I'm going to guess that the only interaction that this group, I'm just making a supposition here, that the only interaction that these people had at this particular gathering was with each other making signs on the way over to the protest. I doubt that anybody has ever walked by something like this and said, oh my goodness, look at that sign. I believe I need to change my ways. I need to change what I'm thinking. Let me go talk to these fine people and see who this Jesus is that they're talking about. It just doesn't work that way. That's one way that probably doesn't work. Thad, there's another image to share. There it is. Sometimes we think that we can outsource our responsibility to government. And maybe if government would just pass better laws or do different things or insist that people behave in different ways, then the world will turn to Jesus. Right? And again, I'm not going to say that we shouldn't be politically active. I'm not going to say that we shouldn't try to make our world more in the image of what Jesus might have us be. But if you remember, rules and following rules is what Jesus railed against. He said, the law is not the point. It's what's in your heart. It's how you treat each other. It's how you interact with each other. Pharisees were wonderful rule keepers. Didn't get them very far. The message of Jesus is mercy and love and undeserved grace. Okay? It doesn't happen from following rules. So here's a third one put up over here. And if you're a little bit old like me, you know that that's Mother Teresa. And she's a literal saint in the Catholic Church. A wonderful, wonderful lady. And she did many, many good and wonderful things in the world. She was a missionary to the less fortunate, especially in India. And she spent decades working with people that were considered not worthy to work with, helping to feed and to and to clothe and to and to just meet the basic needs of tons and tons and thousands of people. She lived a wonderful life and did many, many wonderful things. Missionaries are sometimes the way that we say, well, we're going to get the word of Jesus out into the world by supporting people that go out into the world and do exactly that. And again, I'm not saying that supporting missionaries is a bad thing. In fact, it's a wonderful thing. And in our family, we've supported 3 different missionary families, some for more than 20 years, in the work that they're doing in other countries and in other places. It's good and worthy work. But if the point is this, if you outsource sharing the news of Jesus, if you outsource sharing the gospel and think, that's enough, I've done my job because I supported somebody somewhere else, you're also missing the boat. Right? Mother Teresa, she has the wonderful quote. That's why I shared this here this morning. She said, it's easy to love the people far away. It's not always easy to love those close to us. Bring love into your home, for this is where our love for each other must start. She's nipping at the heels of what I want to share with you this morning, is that we are asked to share the gospel of Jesus primarily relationally with the people that we're around, with the people that we've been placed around, with the people that we have influence in their world, okay? Not necessarily people far away, although we can do that, but our primary mission field are the people right around us. It's kind of a funny thing, I find, that I'm very comfortable at times supporting something in a country I've never been to. I'm not always comfortable going next door and saying hi to my neighbor. Chances are that's you as well. My neighbor's sitting right there. Hi, Brian. Okay, nice to see you. I'm more comfortable with Brian, perhaps, than some other neighbors that I have as well. All these different things are not bad. We can work with our government. We can certainly tell people what we think are not positive ways to go in our culture and in our world. We can support missionaries around the world. But folks, our primary job is to share the good news of Jesus with the people who are closest to us. Okay, the people where we have influence. And if you think about it, you are in a sphere of influence that you have uniquely been placed in. Very uniquely been placed in. Think about your job. Think about your social circles. Think about the people you spend time with or you find yourself spending time with. Go to work and at some point this week, look around at all these people and think, where are they going to hear or see the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and through who? And chances are you're going to come back to the message that and the realization that, oh my gosh, it's me. I'm that person. I may be the only person in people's lives where they see Jesus and they hear about Jesus. And what do I need to do about that? I need to act on that. And probably for me, this is why I find this message to be difficult to share. Because I'm going to guess, just like you, I have been in situations where I've kind of gotten to that point where I know I need to be a little more overt about what I'm sharing with people. And then I back away from that edge because something gets in the way. And usually it's some sort of fear of acceptance or things like that too, or being seen as something that I don't want to be seen as at that point in time. But that's our job. Our job is to share with your life, share with your story, okay? So we talked about a little bit today about maybe how not to do that, a little bit about how to do that, and I thought today one of the things that I do is just share an example of what that could look like, because one of the best ways of sharing the good news of Jesus is literally telling your story, a before and an after. Some of you have heard my story, some of you haven't, and when I share this story here in a minute, I want to be sure that you know that this isn't about glorifying me. This is about glorifying Jesus, and that's what a story like this is designed to be. It's called a testimony, and again, if you could pull out your official churchy word dictionary, testimony's in the T's, okay? It's a word that you hear at church and maybe in court. Those are the two places. Testimony really means tell your story, so I want to tell you my story here today, and it goes like this. I never remember a time where I didn't go to church. which means that I was a baby in church. I grew up in a church. I grew up in a very conservative church where it's a liturgical church where the service was the same each week, and we chanted and recited and we repeated different things that were certainly truths about Jesus. I learned Bible stories. I learned that Jesus loves me. I learned that Jesus expected some things of me, and I learned many good things. But what I internalized out of all that as I became a young adult and an adult was that Jesus expected some things of me, and I better be living up to those expectations. Okay? I heard a lot more of the law than I heard about the gospel and the good news of Jesus. And when you live in the law, one of the things that happens is you never, ever measure up. You're always falling short of expectations. Mm-hmm. I was a really good rule follower. Still probably am today, a really good rule follower. If you tell me to do something and I know I have to do it, chances are I'm going to do it. But I was a really good rule follower, and I followed the rules pretty well. Okay? I got to be a young adult and got away from the direct influence of my family, and following the rules didn't seem as important anymore. And because following the rules didn't seem important anymore, I just started living like everybody else that was around me. And that's an interesting thing to do as a college student. And some of you probably have experienced that very same thing. I just started living like everybody else around me and all the things that went along with that. I knew that I wasn't living up to God's expectations of me. And at that point, it was, I don't care, because if I can't do this, well, tough. You know, that's not, I can't do it, it's impossible, so why even try? And one thing in my life changed that. And there's a guy story. Many of us have the same story. My two brother-in-laws have the same story. I met a girl. And I met a girl who showed me and kind of led me very gently towards the understanding that this is not about following rules. Following Jesus is about understanding his grace. Okay? And then because you own that grace and you own that forgiveness, that you can live a life that might be different from other people. So I actually got to marry that girl, which is pretty cool. And we get to be married now 28 years in just about a month, which is really kind of cool. Yeah, I know. All right, I like that. But that's my story. And since that point, I'll tell you the before Jesus and the after Jesus for me. Before Jesus was being worried and wondering if I measured up and trying my best to pedal really hard to do enough good things to offset the bad things that I might be doing or thinking or saying, things like that. After Jesus, my life isn't perfect, but here's what I know. I know that I'm saved. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that Jesus cares about me. I know that that's not just me, that's everybody. And when I start to doubt those things, I just have to go back to the stories that I know where God is consistent and Jesus is consistent and always does what he says he's going to do. And if he says I'm forgiven, guess what? I'm forgiven. And when I forget that, I fall back on some of those stories that I learned. But that's my story. Before Jesus, I was pedaling fast at the wrong things and always worried and always concerned and always not measuring up. After Jesus, on my worst days, I might still be that way, but I know that I have his forgiveness. I know that I have his grace, and I know that that means something to me. Okay? That's my story. Okay? You probably have a story that's just like that. Even though this isn't a direct testimony about a salvation change, here's another story that I share with people sometimes. In the year 2000, I got my dream job. And my dream job was, I was an elementary school teacher for 11 years. Pretty good at it, okay? I wanted to be an elementary school principal, and I got my dream job in Washington State. And we moved our whole family, and that was chugging along really well. But as the years went on, it was the sort of place where you worked for a lot of people. I was there 11 years. I worked for five big bosses, five school superintendents during that time. And my understanding of the work and how it should be and my boss's understanding of the work and how it should be kept getting farther and farther apart to the point where I was not always doing my work in the best way and they were not always seeing it in the best way. About a year before we came to Wyoming, we had an amazing thing happen in our world. We had a group of people from our church in Washington decide that they were going to move to Central Oregon, to Bend. And they were going to plant a church there in a very fast-growing community where people needed to learn about Jesus. And we spent a year studying Acts about what it was like to be, what the early church was like, what church should really be at its core. Not necessarily all the cultural things about it, but strip culture away. What is church at its core, and how can it be culturally relevant in the place where you want to be? Tanya and I went to a meeting of this group of people, a kind of a kickoff, and decided, well, we got this big old house. We can just, you know, we're not going to do that, but we can meet at our place. And we got to know this group of people on a very, very deep level. A couple of things converged about February of that year. And about February of that year, I decided, and it was a very hard decision, I need to walk away from this job that I always wanted and I always liked. Honestly, walk away before they asked me to walk away. And that's what I did. And at that point in time, we had been meeting with families long enough to know that they were going to Oregon. And I thought, oh man, God, this is it. You're sending us off to Oregon. You're going to make everything right. You're going to make everything work. I was off to Bend. Tanya was off to Bend. We were making plans to do that. The other families that ended up going found jobs right away. They found opportunities right away. They found housing right away. There were two elementary school principal positions in the same neighborhood where we were going to plant this church. Same neighborhood. And I thought, oh God, you're opening the doors. It's a wonderful thing. And didn't even get a call back about those jobs. Something, God didn't want me there. And the people that I connected with and the people where I found employment with were in Laramie, Wyoming. Okay. Laramie, Wyoming may as well have been Antarctica or Australia or someplace like that. It was Laramie, Wyoming. So really, in fact, a picture showed up. You know how those pictures show up on Facebook 6 years ago, 3 years ago, you were doing this, share this image? I had one this morning, and I remember this evening of us getting together with this group of families. Must have been July 2nd or July 1st of 6 years ago. And all of our stuff was packed up because we were going to Wyoming the next week. So we arrived here about 6 years ago this coming week. And I had no idea why God would send us to Wyoming. I hoped I'd heard him right. I hoped that this was the right opportunity. I hoped that this was all going to work. And the really amazing story is this. We got here, we were living downtown in a loft. If you ever go to Altitude and you look across the street, there's really an apartment above the store across the street from Altitude. We lived there. It's a kind of a cool place. And so I was at the laundromat on a few days after we got here doing laundry because it had Wi-Fi, and I looked up churches, Laramie, Wyoming, and the first thing that popped up was Chad Hallback's interesting face and Whitewater Christian Church. So I started looking into that. We ended up going to Whitewater that weekend just because it was the first thing that popped up on Google search list. And, you know, it was interesting group of people. Rich was there, so I knew it was okay. And we ended up talking to Pastor Chad a few days later. He made a practice of going to Coal Creek a couple times a month and just hanging out and talking to people. And so we went and talked to him. And we told him this whole story of, hey, we were planning to go here. Somehow we're in Wyoming, I have no idea why, and he smiled and he looked at Tanya and I and he said, we've been waiting for you, we've been praying for you, because the things you've been learning and the things you've been getting ready to do need to be done here. Stick with us. And it was the most interesting, affirming thing that God had taken a broken dream and turned it into his purposes in another place, in a place that was so far away we couldn't even imagine being here. And the rest is the rest. But I share those two stories with you for this reason. Sharing your story, sharing your testimony, in many ways is sharing the gospel. People need to know. People need to connect with people that have some standing with them as to what Jesus did for me so that maybe he can do that same thing for you. Okay? Why I'm sharing this with you today, again, is not to glorify me, but is to let you know that God is faithful, God is real, God is consistent. When we share stories of what God has done for us, people start to see, this God is real. It's not just a story that I've read or a bunch of myths that are back out in the world. These are real things and real people that I trust in him. Maybe I should look at him in a little deeper way. Okay. About 8 to 10 years ago, if you hung around the Christian world, there was a fad that went around churches. And how many of you remember cardboard testimonies? Yeah, a few people do. Okay. I'm going to share a few of those with you today because cardboard testimonies, one of the neat things about them was it was a way for churches to share before and after stories of Jesus, of people, without them having to get up and talk to a bunch of folks. Okay? So it's a short video and about 4 minutes long. Thad, can we go ahead and share that now? And let's talk about it a little bit afterwards.
The hope to the hopeless, you're the peace.
Getting to know Jesus doesn't fix everything in your life, but many of us know that time in our lives as a hinge point, as a tipping point from a life I was leading that wasn't working to a life I was leading, I'm now leading, that works better on so many levels, okay? Share that story. Those are world-changing, life-changing stories. You might think, you know, my story is just my story. Nobody else can connect with that. It's just a me thing, and it doesn't apply to anybody else. But remember, you've been placed in a place around certain people because they need to hear your story. They don't necessarily need to hear mine. Okay? Knowledge of Jesus, saving knowledge of Jesus, knowing the gospel and understanding how it applies to your life, that's a world-changing thing, and I don't know about you, but that motivates me, okay? I want to change the world, and this is a fabulous, actual, outstanding way to do that. So I'm not going to do what I maybe thought I would do today and ask you to, you know, gather up in a group and share your story, but I'd ask you to do this. Marketing people say, what's your elevator pitch, you know, for your new company or your new idea or your new product and things like that. And that's the idea that you get into an elevator and all of a sudden Bill Gates is standing right next to you and you got 30 seconds until he's going to get off. What would you tell Bill Gates so he'd fund your project and be amazed by you? What's your elevator pitch? What's your story that you would share with somebody else? Think about what that is and strongly consider sharing it with somebody who's been placed on your heart. Chances are there's somebody that God's been telling you, go and talk to this person. Go get to know this person. Go share a little bit about your life with this person. I've got one of those people in mind right now, so this is a convicting thing for me. And share your story with that person, because chances are that's exactly the story that they need to hear. So let's pray today. God, thank you for putting me in the places you put me. Gosh, thank you for getting me to Wyoming, the last place I would have chosen to go. But I'm here, and it's been a wonderful place because you've ordained me in this place. You've chosen for me to be here. Thank you for putting us in just the right place around just the right people for your glory so that people can hear the story that they need to hear. And God, I'd pray that when I get to that place that I don't back away from the cliff, that I just dive right off and share what you've asked me to share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.